Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet Be Amazing podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Be Amazing podcast here on SweatNet. I am your host, Teal, and this is episode 45, and I am so excited. It's hard to believe we're at episode 45 because when I first started out, 25 was my goal, and now 50 is in sight. And it's been an incredible experience not knowing what I was doing and just taking the step, the leap of faith, and connecting with women and sharing their stories. And it's just been an amazing experience. And so thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the stories. If you have a story or you know someone and you would like to be on the podcast, please send me an email at itsteal@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. So the two events that are coming up, the first one is on May 22nd and 23rd. It is Strong Camp Charlotte being put on by Strong Fitness Magazine. It is going to be incredible. It's going to be at Functional Fit Charlotte. We have amazing instructors that are coming out to give of their time and share their knowledge. We're going to have seminars, but more than anything, we're going to have fun. And it's going to be a time of collaboration, a time to uplift each other, a time to encourage each other. So I invite you right now to go to strongcamp.com and register now, or you can go to my Instagram at itsealsmart, click on the link tree in my bio and register today. And then it's the big weekend happening October 15th and 16th, again, here in Charlotte. It is the Be Amazing Weekend, a weekend that's focused on celebrating women, a focus on health and fitness, and it's just going to be a time, again, for all of us to come together. There's all kinds of events going on, so go to beamazingweekend.com right now. Take a look at what we're having that whole weekend, like all the different things you could participate in, or come and celebrate with us. So again, it's being put on by Strong Fitness Magazine. Thank you to the sponsors Start to Finish, Burn Boot Camp, Glow Body, Run Charlotte Run, SweatNet, like all of these amazing groups and businesses that have come on board to support and share. Really appreciate it. If you want to sponsor, reach out to me at itsteal@gmail.com. I'd love to talk to you. We're looking for additional partners to align with and that really see the value in doing this together. So with that said, it's time to talk about our next guest. And our next guest is Allison Lilly. She is 56 years old and a fitness extraordinaire who has been teaching all types of fitness since the mid 80s. Allison shares the wisdom that she's gained on her own path of overcoming repeated injuries that began back in her 20s. Hear how Allison accepts these challenges as God's little humbling processes to keep our egos in check and to close doors so no new ones can open. Learn her advice for setting limits on your pity parties, focusing on what you can do rather than what you can't, and constantly being on the lookout for new ways to reinvent yourself so you're ready for the next thing, whatever it will be, whenever it comes. Stay tuned for this incredible conversation with Allison. Welcome to the show, Allison. I'm so glad to have you on. I'm ready to talk about some dance.
Yes, we are. I am so excited to be here. I am ready to talk about everything dance and fitness. Let's go.
All right. Well, first, let's start out with, tell the listeners a little bit about who you are, like your family life, you know, your work, dance, all of that. Give us just a little bit more about you.
All right. Well, I'm Allison Lilly. I have been teaching fitness since I was in college. So I started teaching, between 1984 and 85, I was a junior in college at NC State University. Yeah, go Wolfpack. I started teaching just fitness. I was actually a smoker and I didn't really exercise. And I quit smoking and somebody took me to a fitness class and I was like, I don't want to be here in the audience. I can do that. So I just went after it. So I've been teaching since then. I've been in Charlotte since 1988. And I've been teaching with the YMCA in Charlotte for 28 years. And I've been with Dance District teaching hip hop for 7 or 8 years. So that's kind of been my whole life. I am a very, I don't like change. So once I find something that works, I take it, I stay there, and I take it and make it my own and try to make it better and better. So I've done that for a long time. I have 3 children. They are all in their 20s now. I have 1 grandson. My husband and I have been together since we were 12 years old. We're from Hickory. We have, obviously, I told you I don't like change. but we've been together since we were 12, never dated anybody else. So we are that love story. This is what I do. I teach. I've been in fitness and in dance my whole life. And it's just my passion. And it's just what I wake up and do every day.
So I want to know, when did you first fall in love with like dance itself?
When I became a fitness instructor, I was teaching everything that was available at that time. And there wasn't that much available back then. But I taught a lot of classes and it was all about the music and I taught a lot of funk and things like that. And so one of the main things that I'm really big on as a fitness instructor is continuing education and making sure that I stay on top of what's new in fitness. So I would go to conventions. I would go to the IDEA conventions. I would go to California, Las Vegas. I did this every year to get all my CECs. So there happened to be one year that I was in California and there was a new class that was on the schedule and it was called hip hop. These twins were teaching it, 2 girls. And I went, I remember the class was packed. It had probably 200 people in it. And I remember getting in the back right corner and because I didn't know what it was. And oh my gosh, it was like something just clicked inside of me. And I was always a cheerleader growing up, but something clicked with this. I was like, oh, this is totally me. And I could feel it in my body because I'm just not a prissy person. I'm not a girly girl, even though I like to have my nails done and all that kind of stuff. I'm just much more of a down and dirty, let's get it.
Which I absolutely love because I know you wear hats and like hoodies. Are totally my jam.
Yes. Most people don't know me without a hat on, but I took the class and I was hooked. So I came back from that and at that point, MTV was big, TRL was coming out. So then I started searching for more hip hop classes. I didn't know how to find it. And I found this other fitness convention that was called ECA and it was in New York. So I went there and there was this woman there. She's about 10 years older than me, a lot like me. I mean, literally, I'm like, I see myself turning into her now. But her name is Angie Bunch, and she had this hip hop big troupe that throughout the country called Culture Shock. I was just sucked in and talked to her. I was taking all the hip hop classes that they offered there. She kind of sat down and just kind of told me, she was just like, well, I remember her sitting on the stage and she was saying, you know, this is how I got into it. You know, I kind of did what you did and I just loved it and I just wanted to do it. So I started this company and all this. I literally came back from that and I went straight to my boss at the Y and I said, okay, you know that class that I'm teaching over here, the step class that has like 150 people in it at the Dowd Y, you know, and I'm teaching all these people. I'm like, I'm going to give that up and give it to somebody else. And can we put a hip hop class opposite of it? She's looking at me like I'm crazy. And she was like, are you sure? You know, so I did. And she let me. I started teaching hip hop. I didn't know what to teach. I just knew I liked it. So I started teaching videos. So any video that was number one on TRL, I would learn it and I would teach it. So if it was Britney, if it was Usher, if it was Aaliyah, if it was NSYNC, I would learn it. I would teach the video and the classes were packed. So that's how I got it. I mean, that it just kind of hit me and I was like, okay, let's do this. And I wanted to be the Angie Bunch of Charlotte. And then that's what led me to do the hip hop troupe and at the Y as well. I started the hip hop troupe. I just did what she did.
That's so awesome. Like it's funny to me because when you first say like, I brought hip hop to the Y, right. Like to me, and especially in Charlotte because of, you know, just where it's located. And we've talked about that. Cause like I grew up here in Charlotte, you know, it's the Bible Belt. It's where, you know, MTV for the longest time wasn't even allowed. It wasn't even on, you know, channels here. And yeah. So you get to bring this to Charlotte. What kind of, did you have any, like, she may have pushed back a little bit, but did you have any challenges that you had to overcome, or in how you introduced it or anything like that?
Well, I think the first reason that she let me do it, and it was Claudette, she's now Claudette Sayas. She's still an instructor here in Charlotte, but she was the one that built the YMCA fitness program to what it is today, honestly. And that was back in 1991, I think. So, you know, she was one of the people that I was going to these conventions with. So she saw me, she was rooming with me, and she saw how much I loved it. She saw that I had the fire. So once she just had to ask, obviously, and they were like, yeah, let's go for it. Let's do it. So I really didn't hit a snag at all with bringing it to the Y. They were just jumped right on board with me. And they were like, let's go for it. So when I decided to start the hip hop troupe, I wanted to do this big hip hop troupe and have auditions in Charlotte, because I didn't know anybody else in Charlotte teaching hip hop at all. And so I had auditions and called in people. You know, I was very afraid, I'm going to be honest. At that point, I'm a 30-something year old white woman saying I'm going to start a hip hop troupe. So, you know, I had some other friends come on with me and be like my assistants, and it just helped for people to come in and just see that it wasn't just me, but there was other people with me as well. And so the turnout ended up being huge the first year. I ended up, God, with like, I don't know, 60 people or so trying out. I only took like 25 to 30 dancers. And from that point forward, I did it from, let's see, it was 7 full years that we did it. And it was a lot of work. And we got to perform at all the UNCC halftime games. We got to perform at a bunch of the Bobcat games. And then we performed at anything that was around here. We ended up getting a couple things, like we got to open up for Kirk Franklin one time. So it turned out to be great. I think the biggest struggle for me was that, you know, were people going to take me seriously? And after that first year, I had no problem with that. I did have to prove myself, because no one around here had heard of anything like this. I mean, they're like a troupe, and then I was spelling it T-R-O-U-P-E. So everybody's like, well, what's that? Why isn't it T-R-O-O-P? The Y came on board. I asked them, they paid me. They paid for our outfits. They just took us and embraced us. So I was very fortunate that I didn't have any of that to deal with. I did have to deal with, as the troupe got bigger and everybody wanted to be on it, I did have some struggles with some people that I had to kind of separate the groups on level. Because at that point, once people started getting in there and people started realizing whether they really had the knack for it or not, you know, it started showing. So I had to separate, you know, levels, this level versus this level. But I was determined not to have just the best dancers. I wanted to show that you could have beginners dance with advanced. And then the other thing I did was I had young with old. So the youngest dancer I had, this little boy, I remember, he was just amazing. He was, I think, 11 at the time that he started, maybe 10. And he was on the troupe, but then my oldest was 44. So they were kind of like, they ended up just being like this big family throughout those years. They would help each other. And even now, the young kids that were on there, they still stay in touch with me. They tell me what they're doing. And it's been, gosh, since the 90s. And they, you know, they still like, hey, Miss Allison, da da da, look what I'm doing. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you know. So it was just a really cool, cool time in my life. And again, I said the whole thing that motivated me to do it was watching this woman, Angie Bunch. She did it in, you know, throughout. She had a Culture Shock San Diego, Atlanta, New York, DC. She had all of them. And that was my big goal, was just to make this thing huge. I didn't really care about taking it outside of Charlotte. I just wanted it to be big in Charlotte. And it turned out to be that. And I probably would have kept going, and I got bam, sidelined with injuries. So doesn't work if your choreographer is injured.
Yeah, but what an incredible thing, and all the lives you've impacted, and you still continue to impact. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but like your goal is to, even in the classes that you're teaching now, you've stayed true to who you are, and that is you believe in beginner, advanced. Like it's not about who is the best dancer. It's about bringing everybody together, creating that community. And I really love that.
Yeah, that's always been my thing. I tell you, especially now in dance, it would be easy to go pick the best dancers and make every video look amazing. But even at my age now, I mean, I'm that person that doesn't look as amazing anymore. You know, I mean, I'm older. I've been through quite a few surgeries. The fitness aspect of my life has, teaching fitness for so long is taking a toll on me. So I'm that person that doesn't look perfect anymore. I'm not as clean as I used to be. And that's something you just have to accept with aging. But it doesn't take away what I know, doesn't take away what I can choreograph, what I can do. I may not be able to get down on the floor and get back up anymore, but I can tell you how to. And there's just so many people, because dance is such a big thing in the world now. It's everywhere. It's TikTok is about dance. Everything's about dance. People just want to learn to dance. So I love being that person that can help them realize that they can do it. And I want them to be in my class. And if there's somebody that's, you know, beginner and they're stumbling over their feet right beside somebody who could probably go be a backup dancer, but yet they're encouraging each other in different ways, that's the whole goal. Because it's not about being perfect. It's about trying to get better at something that you love to do. And even just now with pandemic, get outside of yourself to go do something that'll make you not, just don't think about what's going on in this world, and be silly and be okay that you messed up the choreography, or that you tripped over your foot, or you forgot the choreography and had to say, wait, can we start over? You know, it's okay. But I think people think it's not okay because they see all these videos that are picture perfect, but people need to understand, when you see a video that's picture perfect, it was meant to be that way. So they were at your point at one time too. So give yourself some grace, go in, do it, go through the learning process, and just be you.
I love everything you're saying. I think too, with the video thing, because I've caught myself at times, if I'm videoing something to put up on social media, you know, you can record yourself a bunch of times and then get just the right one, you know, just the right, yeah. You know, it perfectly matches with music, or you hit the moves right, or your foot didn't lift off the floor when it wasn't supposed to, you know, all of that. Mm-hmm. And there have been times now where it's like, I've even faced myself saying, no, you need to post the imperfect, because the perfect doesn't happen every single time. It's important to show that, like, it's just about moving. It's just about being who you are. And I think the freedom with dance is that it's a form of expression, and it's a way to communicate how you feel. And so I really love how you have taken that approach with not just dance, but like how that approach with fitness, like how you have like really wrapped that all together.
Yeah, I think the reason why I do is, I don't think I was always that way. You know, if you talked to me when I was in my 20s, the ego was a lot different back then. And it doesn't take many times for God to sit you down to make you realize that you're replaceable. You know, I don't mean replaceable as a human being, but when it comes to your job or what you're good at, there's always going to be somebody that's going to come up and be better. And you got to be okay with that. Your time was your time. But it's so hard to, when you're young and you're in fitness and you have packed classes. And, you know, I know that back then when they were packed, I would be like, oh my God, look at this. This is amazing. Look at me. My head would grow and grow and grow. And I can remember the first time God sat me down it was a health issue. And I was in my 20s and I had been killing it. And I just got really, really sick because I was teaching so much, because I got into this thing of, okay, I'm doing good. I want to be better. But now I got to feel like if there's 150 people in this class, oh my gosh, I got to be better than I was last week. And so it just gets to this point where you just get to where you believe that you can, and you work harder and harder, but then you eventually, your body just gives out. And that's what happened to me. And I remember I was teaching 12 classes a week that time. And it was my whole life on top of having two very young children. And my body just was like, boom, that was it. And I remember being in a Bible study and like almost audibly hearing God's voice, you need to give up half of your classes. And I can remember being in my car crying, talking to God, saying, I am not giving up half of my classes. Like, these are like my classes, you know, I'm killing these classes. What are you talking about, God? And I can just remember just feeling it so hard in my heart. And he's like, I'm telling you, you got to do it. And I remember driving to the Y and meeting with my boss that day and said, I got to see you. And I gave up half my classes. And it was the hardest thing I ever had to do, but I had to do it for me. And like I said, I was about 28, 29 years old. Right away, I just got into something different. I started lifting weights, and then I found a whole new love for something different that I didn't even know I loved. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Then I got into the whole lift and weight thing, and I was teaching less. I was feeling better. My health got better and I got healthier, and my mental got better because it made me realize you were too wrapped up in yourself and trying to make yourself better and better and better all the time to be approved by these people. And you've got to stop. And I was a different person when I came out of that. And that went on for like 2 years of me trying to get my health back. And it was just, my body was worn down. My immune system was shot. But I came out the other side much more humble, and my head had shrunk to about the size of a pea. And I had to start over, you know, but I started over with a different attitude. And that's kind of about the time that I started the hip hop thing. Cause it all kind of happened. It was interesting. I can see God's hand in all of it. Yeah.
Well, and it's like when you lay something down, it's always for a reason. And then there always seems to be the next thing. Like it's, you know, just how life goes and how it flows. But if you hadn't taken care of yourself, then you may not have been able to do the hip hop troupe and all of that.
Well, no, I wouldn't have, because at the time my doctor was telling me nonstop that, cause they thought I had cancer or something. Like I literally was going to a cancer doctor. They couldn't figure out why my immune system was shutting down on me. And, you know, I had just worn myself out, but I tell you, pride. And I mean, I call it pride. It is pride. I mean, your pride, ego, I mean, it gets fed and you don't even realize that it's feeding you so much, and it's not feeding you positivity. It's feeding you negativity. It feels positive, but it's negative. And it makes you think you can do things that you can't, or that aren't really good for you. It's detrimental. So it's just so important to keep checking yourself to see where you stand on, you know, just remember that everybody's replaceable. You may be shining, you may be killing it, and that's great. It may be your season, but seasons don't always last forever. And it's okay. You're going to come out the other side better. I mean, it's just always, it's happened to me like 7 times. So it's like, not the ego thing, but having to stop and start again. I mean, it's happened to me over and over again. And every time I've had to stop, it was because of overuse. How bad is that?
Wow.
That's the world of fitness and dance.
Well, that I was going to say, yeah, it's, I mean, I'm just now noticing things. This is going to lead into our talk about age, but like I've noticed things now with myself that I didn't notice before, like my knees will pop and I'm like, what is that? You know, or I have things even in my hands, like I have one finger that gets really stiff and I can't bend it like I used to, or if I lift weights, it like, it doesn't work like it did. I'm like, what is going on? It doesn't work, 'cause it doesn't work the same. So I think it's that self-awareness and that constant self-check, not only self-check of like when you talked about ego and really, and being dialed into not letting approval or things outside things drive you, but also self-check with your own health. Like, 'cause as instructors and coaches and trainers, you can get so wrapped up in, you know, pushing other people, and you're pushing with them, and you're in there doing the same thing or trying to push yourself as hard as you always have. It does catch up with you if you're not taking care of yourself. And that's a huge thing.
I feel like too, when as instructors, regardless of what you're teaching, if you've got a lot of praise coming at you, it's this endorphin adrenaline thing that makes you totally numb to what's really going on in your body. It just feels so good. It's almost like a drug. So it is so important to check. I mean, if you're going home after your classes, well, I'm like this now, but mine is because I didn't check myself. Anyway, all those years, take it from this woman. But now I come home and, you know, my husband laughs at me because I can't climb the stairs after I teach class. And I'm like, let me just sit down and scoot up these stairs. But, you know, it's and one of the things my mom tells me all the time, she's like, what are you going to do when you're 60? And now that I'm getting closer to 60, she's like, what are you going to do when you're my age? And I was like, and I mean, I know she's right, you know, but I've since then made adjustments, and I'm trying to, you know, I've been trying to make myself not do things I shouldn't do ever since probably, God, I mean, 10 years ago, I had some stuff happen, and I just had to change everything, what I can do is, and accept what I can't do.
So. That I love that, because you have such a positive attitude about it. You freaking rock your age. Because you're 50, are you 55 right now? Or you're going to be?
I'll be 56 in 2 weeks. Yeah. Oh, crossing over. Getting close to
60. Hey, listen, we will be officially 10 years apart. So I'm 46, you're 56.
But I was looking at a video the other day. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so young in that video. Look at me. I am killing it. And it's, my lines are clean. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I looked at the year and I'm like, dang, I'm only 40. I'm 48 there. What the heck? What happened in the past 8 years? You know, I mean, the age creeps up on you. It's like, you're doing real, real good. And you think, I'm rocking this. And it's like, bam, you're like, wait a minute, you know?
But you are, that's the thing. Like, that's what's so awesome is, like, I didn't realize like how old you were, because I'll see your videos on Instagram and I see you like jamming out and breaking it down and working it out. And I'm like, man, like, she's on freaking point. And then I started seeing you post pictures and you were posting about your age. And I was like, holy cow, like what an inspiration, but like, you're not backing down from living full out, like living who you are full out.
Well, I'm not the type to sit down anyway. I think it's been kind of interesting because I've had to just let some things go. During the different times that I've had it, the biggest issue I had was at like 41 and 43, I broke my spine, which when I say broke, it's not like, don't think like I was a fracture or anything, but it was from doing too many of those Sierra back bends. But my back was killing me. But anyway, it was hurting and I didn't stop. You know, I was doing the hip hop trip at the time, but I got a stress fracture that ended up cracking. And so, yeah, it sat me down. Came back from that and was able just to kind of pick up where I left off. But then like a year and a half later, I was doing a triathlon. Now, I'm not a runner. I was the swimmer in this team. Okay. Cause I was, this is another thing, in my 40s, I decided to just become a swimmer. So I was like, okay, I'm going to swim. And this is a true story. I've never been a swimmer in my life. I literally got in the pool, got my goggles on. People must have thought I was crazy. I got in the pool and I'd sit underneath the water and watch people. And I'm like, okay, let's see here. This dude over here, he's like going, 1, 2, 3, breathe. 1, 2, 3, breathe. Okay, I think I can do this. So I just taught myself to do it. So then once I learned, after about a week or so, I was like, okay, I got the rhythm down. Good. I'm going back and forth. I'm doing about a half mile. I was like, okay, I think I can do this. So I got on the team, a triathlon team. And I was like, I'm going to be the swimmer. Well, I'm not good at competitions because I don't like to lose. I don't do any more competitions. And man, I did this thing and I mean, I killed it. But then the next week I jumped back in the pool because I was like, I'm going to do another one. Jumped in the pool, my shoulder dislocated. And that was it. I was out for a year. And it was brutal. So I had to give everything up, and I gave up teaching hip hop. I gave up everything. So when I came back a year later, the only thing I could do was really teach cycle. And I was already doing that, you know, a lot. So my knees were feeling bad. They were killing me. I had a couple stress fractures in my ankles. I mean, in my back. So I gave up step. I gave up lifting weights. I gave up teaching strength classes. I gave up personal training. I gave up kickboxing. I gave up teaching Pilates. I gave it all up. And I was like, okay, I can teach water. I can teach cycle, and I want to dance. So let me see how I can make this happen. So I started teaching athletic conditioning in the water, which I swore I'd never teach water. And then, but you know, I was like, I'll just make it really hard. And then, and of course I've always taught cycle. So I was like, okay, that's cool. And then as far as dance, it's my one thing that I really want to do. So I'm willing to give up all this other stuff so that I can do this. Now with that though, I can teach all these classes because they're all pretty much low impact. And you have to remember, when I'm teaching hip hop, I'm the one making up the choreography. So I can choose to not use my left arm because it's not right after two surgeries. I can choose not to do something where I got to go down to the ground because I can't get back up because my knees and my hips hurt. You know, so I can choose that. But where I have to really draw the line is I can't really go take a lot of classes because I used to teach athletic conditioning too. I can't do that stuff anymore. Can't do push-ups, can't do pull-ups, can't do planks. So I have to really be kind to myself when I'm not teaching. I can't go take other hip hop classes unless I know I'm going to modify. And if my mental is not going to let me modify, then don't go take the class. So if I want to do this, I have to make the sacrifice over here because I'm 55 years old. I've killed my body since I was 19. And even before that, if you count cheerleading, and I'm feeling it. I don't want to have a knee replacement. I don't want to have hip replacements. So you just have to adjust. The thing that's great about this happening now is that had this been me in the 80s or 90s, I wouldn't have had really anything to go to. I mean, there's so much offered now. So if you do have injuries, I mean, I have people that I see get knee replacements that were runners, and I have this conversation with them in my classes, and they'll say, but I have to run again. And I understand that. I get that. Then figure out what you can do to let go of other things that might help you be able to do that so that you don't keep wearing your knee out, but you just want to use it. Like for me, I want to use my knees when I dance, you know, so I don't do other things. But also sometimes you just have to let go. You have to let go of some things. You got to let go of, I hated letting go of lifting weights. I hated letting go of teaching strength classes. I loved it. It doesn't serve me well anymore. I mean, it just doesn't. Squats. I mean, when you get your doctor and he looks at you and he says, if you do any plyometrics or squats, you're going to end up with a knee replacement. If you do push-ups, your shoulder's going to dislocate again. If you do a plank, your shoulder might dislocate. When you hear stuff like that, you're like, okay, well, I will never do it again then because I want to keep going. But there's options. You just have to be creative and, you know, kick and scream, have your pity party, put a time limit on that pity party because it's going to happen. It's okay. But then move on. Pick yourself up, peel yourself up and say, okay, what can I do? And you just gotta go make it happen.
That's such a great message. Cause I think we can get, I know for me, I can get locked into what I've always done, and I've already had to make some adjustments from the workout perspective, but, mm-hmm. it's, I always, you always look at it like, or I've looked at it as like what I can't do versus what I can. And you're right. Like, it's focusing on that positive aspect, like focus on what you can do and run with that. And also know yourself well enough to know that if going to that class, that you shouldn't be like, you shouldn't be pushing yourself that hard. Don't put yourself in that position. Yeah. Like, just, yeah. You have to, you're in control of you. So you have to make that decision for yourself.
People ask me all the time. They're like, why do you never come to my class? Why do you never come to my class? I'm like, because I got to teach my own classes. Don't take it personally. I support you 100%, but you know, if there's a hip hop class and I know that that person typically drops, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. My knees won't let me do it. You know, I can't go to an athletic condition class. God forbid I walk into a CrossFit studio. Lord help, might as well go and get the gurney.
But this is such, there's so much wisdom in this. Like, even all the young guns right now that are like killing it. Like, there's wisdom in what you're saying. And that's why I really wanted to have you on, because I feel like that you have some advice from being in this industry for as long as you have, and the things that you have pushed your own body to do.
You have to really look at yourself and be honest with yourself. It takes quite a few sit downs from God to make yourself finally realize, okay, I really can't do that anymore. And you know, like I said, my first time of realizing I can't do something started in my like late 20s. And so it happened to me pretty quickly, and it's happened nonstop since then. It happens about every 6 years, something happens, a new surgery or something, or an injury, a new boot, let's say, a boot, a surgery, a sling, something, you know, and it's every time it's from fitness. It's always from fitness. But yes, you do. You have to realize there's so many options now. There's so many other things you can do. I sit here all the time and I look at stuff like my brain tells me I can do it. Like there's some program that came out. I've always been to be a beach body coach and everything. And there was some program that came out and I'm like, oh, I'm going to buy that and I'm going to do that. And I was determined. I had it pulled up and I'm like, Allison, you can't do that. You can't do that. Like, your body will not do that. Forget it. And I was like, you know, so I still have to talk myself down all the time. But the pandemic has been a whole nother thing, though. It's kind of interesting. This is the first time that I've been sat down that didn't involve an injury. And everybody has felt this way. If you're in the fitness industry, you get it. It was horrible. I don't know about anybody else, but I cried and cried and cried. My whole life has been fitness, and all of a sudden it was gone. And I'm still trying to get back some classes. You know, I'm finally just now getting to where I've got a pretty good schedule back together, but it's not what it was. I had the same schedule. I had taught the same classes. Some of them I've been teaching for 25 years. So they're gone. And now I'm in a whole new time slot, I'm still having to train myself to go to the Y at different times because I'd done it for 25 years. I still think every Thursday at 11 o'clock, I should be heading to the Y. I mean, I'm struggling with that. So it's been hard. And I know that everybody else feels that way. And there's some people that aren't coming back, you know, because there's nowhere to teach. You know, and I mean, I wanted to speak on that because I get it. I feel like it's a hard thing if you don't have somewhere to teach, but I wanted to really encourage people to just realize that this is one of those times that we're all getting sat down. Think about during that time, what did you really miss? Because I know that what happened for me, there was some classes that I was like, know that I miss that much. You know, I'm kind of, there was a little relief with some things, and then there was I really miss this. So when I came back, I decided to only take back what I really, really missed. And then in some instances, it was that maybe I was teaching two or three of a type of class, and now I'm like, maybe I only want to teach one of those. Because the thing is that everybody's struggling to get back in. Everybody wants to get back to doing what they've got to do, and you got to be creative about it. And then of course we get upset. We have our pity parties, like I said. And the bad thing is that everybody else feels that way. So there's very little compassion because we all feel that way. So you just got to kind of be your own cheerleader. And